Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. On our way to our conversation, I will remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the University of Maryland Transplant Program. Nearly 2,000 Marylanders are awaiting for an organ transplant. The University of Maryland conducts research and performs procedures designed to optimize transplant rates and provide least invasive surgeries for organ donors. More information about the University of Maryland's transplant program and becoming an organ donor is available at umm.edu/transplant. We are going to talk about President Barack Obama, the U.S. Congress, and immigration. And we are joined here in studio by Elizabeth Alex. Good to have you back with us, who is lead organizer for Casa de Maryland's Baltimore. Good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Mark Krikorian joins us. He's executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies, author of The New Case Against Immigration. And Mark, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
Miguel Andrade is with us. He is youth organizer for Juntos, a Latino immigrant community-led organization in Philadelphia. Miguel, welcome. Good to have you with us as well. Oh, Miguel's not there yet. Okay, so we are going to have somebody from Juntos on here in just a minute. 410-319-8888 is the number here. So let's do a little analysis here of what we think is going on with this immigration policy. It's been interesting seeing so many things pop out in national journal, conservative journal coming out saying that why Republicans need to get their act together on immigration and support this. Others are saying that, no, this has gone too far. They're saying, no, it's not gone far enough, which is what we hope we hear from the folks from Juntos that we will get on here. We have them from Juntos. They're here. Erica Almarón is with us. She's executive director of Juntos. Erica, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So let's start. Let me start out with Alexis first. Elizabeth Alex, I mean. I almost changed your name on you.
That's all right.
So the when you look at President Barack Obama's recommendations of strengthening the national border security, of allowing folks to move into citizenship who have been here, undocumented workers being here, though it's really the devil's in the details about what that really means. Talk about your sense of that, then we'll go to our other guests.
I mean, I think what we've seen in the last week, both from the Senate proposal and from President Obama's principles that he outlined for immigration reform, are that it's basically an affirmation that this country is ready for immigration reform. People from both sides of the aisle are coming together and saying the time is now. We need to do this, and we need to do it right. As you said, the devil will be in the details. But I think from working on the ground with these folks here in Baltimore and throughout the state of Maryland, we've seen for years that this issue needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed in a comprehensive way. And that's the outline that we're looking at from the president and that we hope to continue to push through Congress to get a fair path to citizenship for the 11 million that are here, but also a comprehensive package that will keep families together for the long haul.
So before we turn to Erica Almarón, Mark, let me bring you in next to kind of talk about you. I mean, you take great exceptions to these bills. I'm curious what your take and analysis is.
Well, the key question I think that people need to ask themselves is if we legalize the people, the illegal immigrants who are here, if we amnesty them, will we end up with another 11 million illegal aliens down the road? That's the key question. Are the promises of enforcement in exchange for amnesty for the illegal immigrants who are here going to be honored? And in 1986, we had essentially the same deal. Illegal immigrants, there were about half as many as there are now. Less than half. They had to register with the government. They had to pay fees. They had to jump through various hoops, and they got green cards. And the quid pro quo, as it were, the other part of the deal was that the government, for the first time ever, banned the hiring of illegal immigrants, because before 1986, it was actually legal to hire illegal aliens. The point being, there would be tough enforcement in the future, so we wouldn't have large-scale illegal immigration, but we would tie up the loose ends of past mistakes by legalizing people who are here. The problem is, of course, that the amnesty took place right up front. It took a few years to process everybody, but they all got their green cards pretty quickly, about 3 million people. But the promises of enforcement were abandoned, and we ended up with many more illegal immigrants than we had in the first place. And that's why simple common sense suggests we have to have consistent across-the-board enforcement first, which we do not have, not even close, before we have a conversation about which people we might want to legalize who are already here.
Erica Amaron.
Yes. So here in Juntos, the community has done a lot of analysis about what's come out through the Senate 8 and also what Obama pushed out this past week. And, you know, everyone seems very excited that this has made national news, that immigration, comprehensive immigration reform is part of the national dialogue right now. We also know that that's a result of a lot of pushing that our communities have done, both in the voting booth and also through community organizing and civil disobedience of our young people to bring this to the forefront. And that given that, I think that what we've seen so far, you know, we have some mixed feelings in our communities. We definitely see some concerns about what's being proposed so far. Especially since in this dialogue, there's no addressing the root causes of migration. So to kind of get at, you know, what has been the difference since 1986 till now? Well, you can't talk about migration in a silo. You have to talk about it in the context of, you know, what kind of U.S. foreign policies have been created that cause migration? What kind of decimation are we doing to the global south that causes the migration of our communities here? And how are we addressing the exploitation of workers? So we see this as a very good first step, but we see a lot of like work ahead of us to try to make sure that whatever immigration that gets passed is one that's led with dignity and justice for our community.
So let me kind of wrestle with some of the parts here that we've been talking about. One of the things here that all of you have said, one of the things that President Barack Obama talked about was strengthening the border security. I'm not sure how much more money they have to strengthen it any further than they have. It's probably more money's been put into this than has ever been put in before. So I don't know if that's just President Barack Obama throwing a bone to those who oppose immigration reform or oppose his ideas around immigration reform, saying, look, I can be tough, so you should let me do the rest of it. And the whole question about cracking down on employers hiring undocumented workers, Every administration so far has had a lame effort in this regard and hasn't done very well, so I'm not sure where that's going to go. So I'm sure is this really a way to figure out how to be tough but allow 11 million undocumented workers in America to find some form of residency or citizenship? And if that is what it means, then what does that mean? You can start first, Mark. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, clearly that's what the president and the group of senators, Schumer and Rubio and the others, with their own proposal are trying to do. And they're basically this, you know, very similar proposal. Some details are different, but the basic idea is the same, which is to legalize virtually all the illegal immigrants who are here and to increase future immigration dramatically.
Let me stop you 1 second, Mark. You say that you've written that, you said it now twice this evening. What do you mean by that?
By what?
What you just said, to increase.
Well, we take in about 1 million legal immigrants, more than that, 1.1 million legal immigrants a year now. And then another maybe 750,000 so-called temporary workers, though a lot of them end up staying permanently. And the proposals, both from the president and from the senators, seek to increase all categories of immigration, to let in more family members, to let in more blue-collar workers, to let in more white-collar workers. And so, in other words, what we're talking about is a significant increase beyond the 1 million-plus legal immigrants that we take today. And then the third part, first is amnesty, increased immigration, and in exchange for those two is promises to enforce the law in the future. And just one observation about these promises, the Senate proposal specifically talks about an entry-exit tracking system. What that means sounds sort of wonky, but what it means is foreign visitors check in when they come here, and they don't really check out. So we don't know which foreign visitors are staying illegally. And that matters because close to half the illegal population came in on temporary visas and then never left. The problem is that the Congress required the development of this program 17 years ago, and it still hasn't happened. So why would we believe more promises in some new bill that would be passed this year?
So, and Eric, let me come back in, and after this, we're going to tackle what you raised. Because I think we're going back to the, to what are the roots of this and how we have to wrestle with it. But respond to the issue first of what we talked about in terms of what it means for all the undocumented people here and what it would mean to legalize their presence.
Well, it would...
I was going to Eric. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Well, I think that what we see is that, you know, the stakes are really high for the 11 million people that are here who are undocumented in this country. And we want to see a reform that addresses all of our needs, that, you know, 11 million people who have been working in this country, who have been, you know, putting their fair dues into becoming citizens of this country. And we want to see a reform that addresses, you know, making sure that they're not further exploited. We have concerns around this agricultural workers will be able to jump to the front of the line as long as they commit to serving a certain number of years in the fields. And our concerns around that are that we know that that's actually a field of work or a sector of work that is high, that provides high exploitation of workers, and that when labor laws were created, there was an exclusion of those workers along with domestic workers. And we see a lot of people in our community that are forced to do that kind of work. And so when we talk about an immigration reform that's about protecting workers, we want to include them in that as well.
And how do you see it as in here as well? Because your position in some ways is much closer to what Barack Obama's is, I think.
Elizabeth. I mean, I think one key point that we haven't discussed so much yet, and the reason that the Chamber of Commerce and most of the labor unions are in support of this bill is because we need these immigrant workers who have been here, who have been working, who have been contributing to in our city, in our state, throughout the country. And I think one important thing about both proposals on the table is they do take into account this future flow and tying it to our U.S. labor needs here in this country. And that will hopefully help to bring these people out of the shadows so we don't have what we have now, which is this double class of workers working under the shadows and bringing sort of this race to the bottom of labor standards and wages that hurts both American and immigrant workers. If we can address this issue of the future flow of immigrant workers to address our labor needs in this country, we'll be able to help both American and immigrant workers to be getting paid what they deserve.
One of the things you said, though, I mean, I think that is the argument kind of tough to make because we have unemployment is still very high in the United States, whether you're an immigrant, documented or undocumented, or a citizen in the United States, that machines are replacing workers across this country and the world. There are fewer jobs, not more, for most people to take. And when they are, they're paid less than they do. And you have the reality that 11 million people here, many with families. So, I mean, it's difficult to say, Elizabeth, that the jobs are there.
Well, I mean, if we look at the fact that all these workers are, in fact, working, and they will have to show that they've been working in order to benefit from this program, then, in fact, they are workers and they are actively working. But I think also when we look towards the future, we don't know what's going to happen in the American economy. So I think it's important, and both the President and Congress have already started to grapple with this, that we tie our future flow of particular people who are coming here on work visas, tie that to our economy and the existing and the job market that exists here.
So let me ask both this question, and because it picks up what you were saying earlier, Eric, and I'm really curious what you have to say to Mark, and we're going to get a couple of phone calls in here before the end of the hour. Erica, when you talked about the reasons for emigration and immigration into this country, immigration from and immigration to, I'm curious how you, and then I'm going to hear what Mark has to say about this, how you address the issue of 11 million undocumented workers, what should become of them, to what the future is. And Mark McCorian was saying earlier that, you know, that part you're going to see is, like you did before, that, okay, you legalize undocumented workers and then a flow happens after that and another 11 million can come. So how do you address the 11 million here, and how do you address what you were alluding to earlier about the future?
This is Erica.
Yeah.
I think for us, it's about really looking at, like I said again, like the root causes of immigration.
Right.
And, you know, we have to talk about the 11 million people that are here that deserve to have protections, right, and have their human rights protected for all the work that they do in this country and for all the ways in which that they give to this country. And I think that when I talk about the root causes, what we don't see is a conversation about these policies, like NAFTA being one of them. You know, NAFTA was enacted. You see a flow of factories just moving out and actually decimating our own communities here. Like, I'm in Philadelphia, and I think Baltimore is the same way. You saw a lot of factories, like, just kind of, you know, now are abandoned in our neighborhoods. And that was a direct cause of that, right? And so you see this globalization that's happening. And then you see work being exported out and then causing much poverty in the global south. You know, in particular in Mexico, when you see maquiladora workers making $8 a day. So who benefits off of this? As we see corporations benefiting off of these things. And it's our communities that suffer. Our communities are only trying to survive in this context. So if we're going to move forward, we need to have a conversation about how we're going to address that, how we're going to address how we prioritize spending in this country. We start prioritizing deportation of families. We start prioritizing the incarceration of our communities, and we don't prioritize education. We don't prioritize college access for people. That's actually something we need to start talking about if we want to address immigration and migration moving forward.
So, and Mark Krikorian, I'm curious, as right-left liberal-conservative debate this thing in America, I mean, I'm saying what Erica was saying. Are we even asking the right questions?
Well, I mean, we are asking some of the right questions. Sure, immigration is a complex phenomenon, but I think it's a little simplistic to say that rapacious corporations are forcing people to move and what have you. Only a tiny share of the world's population lives outside the country it was born in. I mean, Mexico has sent a huge number of people. Probably 10% of all people born in Mexico have moved here. But, you know, if you look at where people in Mexico come from and what the patterns have been over the years, the interesting thing is that disproportionately, they come not from the border states, but from West Central Mexico, where we, years ago, had recruited guest workers to work in our farms. And once you create those networks and people get used to, from a particular town or village, get used to coming to, an area to work on farms, for instance, that then takes on its own momentum and continues, sometimes regardless of economic conditions. So the government policy creates migration flows. They're not natural phenomena necessarily. And government policy can interrupt those flows by reducing numbers, getting rid of legal immigration categories or guest worker programs, and by enforcing the law. Immigration is a consequence of government policy, and it can be altered and changed through government policy.
So, well, I have a question about that. Let me get a phone call in here to try to get at least one in. 410-319-8888. Bobby, you're on the air.
Hello. Just throw something up I want to tell you real quick. First of all, I'm 3/5 of a man, I'm black. Now, first of all, before they give all these people their legal rights in this country, I've been here 400 years, my ancestors, straight up like this. You know what I mean? I'm talking about all that rhetoric, what we should do. You know what you're supposed to do. We want our freedom. That's what we want. All of that, the rhetoric, who and where you come from, we don't need that. If I'm a 3/5 man, what is these people that you're bringing to this country? What are they supposed to do? Matter of fact, we are the children of Sheba, all black people. You remember that homosexual thing, man, you come, we are being punished.
Oh, Bobby, thanks for the call. And I heard the stat you gave earlier, Mark Krikorian. But the question is, I mean, I'm curious, how we create a policy that maybe change things in the future. I mean, I think that when you look at who's in America, that 20% of the foreign-born folks in this country are undocumented. 6% of undocumented people come from Mexico. That's true. So they only represent like one-fifth of all Mexican people in this country. But the reality is that a lot of people, the other stats I've been reading, are that a lot of people who come out of Mexico, come out of Central America, come out of those places that were farming communities that are no longer farming communities.
Sure.
Where the corn that they grew has been displaced by our own trade agreements in terms of how we grow corn, who works in those places, how it gets to America. Our farm bill, NAFTA, these have huge effects on people's lives in developing nations.
No question about it. I mean, I actually agree about that. NAFTA in particular, it was not so much the industrial, you know, the trading and manufacturing goods that created problems in Mexico for NAFTA. It was the export of agricultural goods. That having been said, all countries, as they develop, all of them, always, everywhere, see large numbers of farmers leave the land and move to the cities. Because as farming becomes more productive, instead of using an ox or a donkey or something, you have a tractor, and so one person can farm, say, five times what he used to farm. Well, that means there's four other farmers that basically leave the land. That's happened for hundreds of years everywhere. Here, Europe, Asia, it's just the way things work. And so with or without NAFTA, that would have happened. The problem with regard to immigration is that because we had such comically lax enforcement policies for so long, a huge share of Mexico's rural population leaving the land for whatever reason didn't go to Mexico's cities. They moved to our cities.
Well, they went to Mexican cities first. Then they
came. Some of them came straight here.
If you go
others
to
may have done both.
If you go to Veracruz or Mexico City, I mean, it's obscene what people have to live under who come from the countryside. But,
well, I'm not saying they all went here. I'm saying a substantial share of the rural population moved to Chicago and L.A.
So I didn't realize how much little time we have left in this. We're going to come back to this for an entire hour in the next week or two because we have to devote an hour to it. But let me look very quickly, Elizabeth, if you could throw in your last comments and then Erica.
Sure. Thanks so much. I think the bottom line here is that American voters and Latino voters are demanding a real reform, and a real reform that's going to work for all of us, and that's going to reflect our principles and our values in this country of keeping our families together, making sure that people who are contributing actively in our communities, who are working, who are paying taxes, these folks need to have a way to be full citizens of the United States in a timely manner and in a way that is meaningful to this country. We also know that we need a broad, comprehensive approach that is going to make sense over the long haul, and I think the president has laid out a framework for that.
And Erica, closing minute thought from you.
Sure. We agree for the most part with Elizabeth, but I think that what the president has laid out has some concerns. A nationally verify, you know, we spent all last year here in Pennsylvania pushing back against anti-immigrant e-verify bills. So we'll continue to do that. You know, we think that what we need is a comprehensive plan that puts our dignity at the forefront, that puts our human rights at the forefront of this conversation. So we're going to keep on fighting for that. And that includes, you know, making sure that we prioritize spending. You know, there's been actually less immigration happening to the United States, but yet more enforcement, more deportation, more detention of our communities. We don't need that. We don't need that. What we need is actually a government that starts to prioritize investing in the future of our nation rather than in policing and enforcing fears that don't exist.
I want to thank our guests. This has been an interesting discussion. We're going to come back to this for a much longer conversation. Erica Almaron, who you just heard, executive director of Juntos, a Latino immigrant group, a community group-led organization in Philadelphia. Mark Krikorian, executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies, who wrote the book The New Case Against Immigration. Elizabeth Alex, who was lead organizer for Casa de Mer in Baltimore. Thank all three of you for being with us, and hope you come back for a much longer conversation.
Thank you
for having us.
Good to have you all here. Remind you on the way out the door, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. For the fifth year in a row, Maryland's public schools have been named number one in the country by Education Week magazine. Visit MarylandEducators.org to explore what it means to invest in our students, school construction and safety, and the educators' programs and services that make our schools a national leader. That's MarylandEducators.org. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Gunnery, and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Lila Warshaw is our intern. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of King Cuts. to hear this show again, podcast it, and find information about all of our guests and the work that they do and linking to their work, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Stay tuned for Marcia Jews. She's coming right behind me, and we'll be right. She'll be right back. Take care.